Shannon.
And I'm Rami, and this is Workplace Hugs, where we talk about interesting things we've read, learned, or experienced to help us all expand our workplace toolkit with a whole bunch of empathy, but without a whole new degree. This is part two of how to be a great candidate. We are so lucky to have Sarah Shinsky, Caitlin McMahon, Alma Meeker, Carolyn Wilson. And in the last episode, we talked about the behind the scenes pieces and applying for the job. Now I'm very excited. We're talking about interview tips. And then after the interview, Shannon, I'm just going to kick it right to you with our first question.
Yeah, we're going straight into the interview tip section. Okay, Caroline, tell us, what really turns you on to a candidate?
So besides, of course, there is like the minimum, you know, especially with, you know, I'm looking for very specific things in a person's experience, but assuming they have some of those basic qualifications, I think the thing that gets me excited about a person, well, one would just be them having excitement, right? So if they are passionate about what they do, if they're able to show that they're really interested in the role, if they're able to really articulate their story and kind of like what matters to them, I think those are the kinds of things that get me excited. And, you know, it is important that they're able to connect in like the why, you know, why is it that this is a move you're willing to make, you know. Also keep in mind, by the way, when we're interviewing people, I'm not only trying to figure out, are they good enough for the job? I'm trying to figure out, would they take this job too? Right. So just that mutual level of excitement. And also, you know, that just tends to be like more fun conversation, right? You know, if you talk to candidates all day long, it's nice to see a little bit of like personality and energy and just like letting that genuine personality show through versus someone who's just like going, you know, strictly down a list of their qualifications, but you can't really feel who is the person underneath that.
Oh, I love that so much. Okay. Anybody want to add anything about what turns you on to a candidate?
I can add something. I would definitely say someone's enthusiasm, not only for the role, but also the team and just what the company's all about. But also I would say someone who's really clear about what they value, and about their own power in their own career, you know, like someone who, knows what they want, knows where they're going, who has that drive to succeed. And then I love people who are different. So anyone who can make me laugh or who's a little bit more creative and, you know, kind of left of center. I always love interacting with people who are a little bit, you know, on the wild side too.
That's great. Okay. Moving right along. What are the biggest, Caitlin, I'm going to be coming for you here, just so you get a heads up. What are the biggest mistakes you see people make in their interviews?
I think just like not being authentic of showing up in one way in one screening and then coming and doing something different, or like energy is huge. I love what everybody's saying because energy and ways to become memorable in an appropriate way. We've seen a lot of things that are like, that's not the way to do it. But at the same time, like you want to be memorable and you want to show the mutual enthusiasm, but follow through with that. Like I've seen people who will show up and have that energy for kind of the first and second interview. And then they'll just like, they'll start ghosting us. And it's like, hey, where'd you go? What happened? Are you still into this? And they're like, oh, I took another job. You know? So it's just like being authentic and being committed to what you're seeing through and being honest. I mean, I would always encourage a recruiter is a safe person to talk to. Like if you're feeling unsure after you go through the, you know, the next round, and if you get to the hiring leader and you're like, you know, I just didn't feel like I vibed that much. I was really enthusiastic about this opportunity. I'm not sure that it's going to be the right fit based on the connection there. Like that's okay for a recruiter to know. And there might be a different team that you would be a better fit on. So like use a recruiter as a tool in your toolbox in an appropriate way to understand that like you can speak openly with them in a context of where you're feeling as you progress through, because it's okay to have a change of mind as you get further down the pike, but being honest about it and being open, I think huge. So I think the biggest mistakes is just like showing up one way and then switching that up kind of throughout that interview process and creating that question, because again, it goes back to like relationships and networks and all of that. And you want to have a solid grounding for future opportunities or that connection for, you know, for continuing on in a different capacity as well.
Carolyn, I see your hand up, and I just want to ask Caitlin a follow-up quick. Caitlin, do you think you can tell the difference between a candidate who's nervous and a candidate who's switching up their energies, like being disingenuous potentially?
Yeah, and I've coached people on this is a lot of times of like the nervous. A lot of people get very nervous. It's natural. I mean, everybody, yes. Like before this, you get the butterflies of like, oh, no matter how many times you talk about something that you're like, you feel very confident in. But I always encourage people, like everybody is human here showing up in this process. And we want to get to know who you are as a person. So if you're just going to, you know, a lot of times people will prepare something and they'll just be like firing off answers to interview questions that are what they think they want the person to hear. And I'm like, okay, so you just told me what you think I want to hear, but that's actually not what I want to hear, because I don't think that that's who you are. You know, I mean, that's a lot of things and that could be confusing, but you want to be authentic. I can tell as a recruiter or a coach if you have over prepared and are so nervous that you can't get out of your head. So if that's the way that you're showing up, I'm actually going to pause you and say, hey, like, what'd you do last night? Like, how, you know, tell me about who you are, your hobbies. Like, let's just be humans with each other. And then let's go back and talk about this, because I actually want to know what you've truly done, not what you are doing based on how you've prepared. So
I'm so glad. No, it does. And it reminds me when I was going through interview training as a leader at Target, I remember one of the things that really stuck out to me was they said, you have to help make the person comfortable. Like it is, you also have responsibilities as the person interviewing someone to help get the most authentic version of them to come out. So if somebody's nervous or struggling a little bit, like how do you soften, as you so beautifully demonstrated? Okay, Caroline, I want to make sure we get to whatever you wanted to add.
Yeah, I thought everything Caitlin said was good. And it was just reminding me, one of the things I wanted to say before was just how important is for the person to be transparent. And that's one of the things that makes me like them more, but it also just makes it a more effective process for everyone. I can't tell you how many times there's been a misunderstanding that I was able to solve just because someone told me the truth. You know, like they'll come back and say, yeah, I loved everything about the company, but you know, the promotion path is just, it doesn't sound very good. You know, they don't really. And then I'm like, what are you talking about? There's 10 examples of how great it is. And just somehow they missed that. And if they hadn't shared that with me, we wouldn't have been able to come back and give them the better information. And so that happens all the time. I think it's just generally for everyone's higher good when they try to play the cards way too close to the vest about like interviewing other places or what really, you know, why they're really interested. It pretty much, I think, backfires for everyone involved. So I just want to emphasize that piece. And then the other thing was just around when we were talking about candidates' excitement and talking about being authentic, like that, like, you know, as Caitlin was saying, we can tell the difference. So one of the red flags that I find so weird is when someone tells me, you can tell they would interview for any job. Like it doesn't matter what it is. Oh. You know, the other I talked to somebody just this week who was like a highly qualified, like very smart person. And they were already acting like they were ready to interview for this position I was recruiting for, which is a really good position, before I told them the name of the company. And so I had decided at that point it was over for me. Like I continued with the conversation, but there was nothing that they were going to be able to say to convince me, which maybe I'm being closed-minded, but I was just like too big red flag, right? Like, nope. Mm-hmm. You need to make an informed decision as to why this is something you're interested in. And with this tiny little bit of information I've given you so far, there's no way you could be doing that. So anyway, I find that weird. So you know, we want you to be excited, but not so overly excited that it feels desperate.
Let me follow up on that because I have a question. So if the person came to you though, Caroline, and they were like, hey, I just want to change roles. And so, like, I want to get out of my company. So yeah. What you're telling me is something new, and I'm excited about that in general, the idea of it. Will that still turn you off?
that's fine. That's not what happened in this conversation. That's fine. But it does need to be, I am listening as a person shares that. And I think the way that you communicate that matters. So ideally you want to be able to say like, this is really what I'm looking for versus complaining about what's going wrong for you at the point that you're currently at. There may be pieces of that are relevant to the conversation that can come up, but that wouldn't be what I lead with. And again, you just need to be able to be clear about what matters for you. Like, what are you solving for in this next role? Is it you want, you know, this amazing new challenge? You want to enter into, you know, working with this great team? What matters to you? And then I can work with that. But if you just come across as, you know, give me anything that exists, to me, that's just, that person, frankly, is not going to be the strongest candidate for any of the clients I've worked with, at least.
No, that makes sense. Thanks for the clarification on that. And I think that goes back to what we talked about in the last episode, which is like your intention and your goal with what you're trying to do in that next step is very important. And having that be both very clear and continuous, I think, is what we're hearing from you guys. So I think that's really helpful for all of us to take away, is like, know what you want to do and like continue to say the same things. And that path may expand a little bit throughout the process, but as long as that path is still going in the same general direction, then I think it helps both the recruiter and everything else kind of lock you down where you're trying to go.
You know what? Go ahead.
Sorry. I thought of one more thing that I didn't include that I think is really important to call out. And I'd be interested to hear from other perspectives too, but preparing questions, like thoughtful questions, and having them appropriate to the leader that you are interviewing with, I think is huge. And because I see this a lot where people will prepare like three standard questions. And if they're doing a loop of like, say they're meeting with two or three different hiring leaders in, you know, back-to-back interviews, they'll ask those same questions to each leader. The leaders know that. They talk about that. So have the questions be aligned to the level of person that you're talking with. Like, don't go ask your senior director about the benefits package. Ask the recruiter about the benefits package. So be cognizant of who you're talking to, but have questions appropriately prepared and tailored to their role that they would be able to answer, and to give you more information on the position and the opportunity as well. You know, like, so do not show up empty handed. I think that that's a huge mistake that a lot of people make.
Yeah. Let's flip ahead to that part, because we've got this question around like, how do you interview the interviewers? Sarah, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I think tagging onto what Caitlin said, definitely come prepared with questions for sure. And I don't know if there are necessarily like the best questions to ask in general. I think what she was saying about being tailored, for sure. But I have a tendency to structure my screens and interviews as like, tell me about yourself. I want to hear about you, what you're interested in, what you want to be doing. And then I flip it and tell them what I know about the role. And there's a good chance that what I'm telling them is going to answer a lot of the questions they've already had. So I think it's really important to be able to pivot and get curious and have a conversation with a recruiter as you're going through. Don't ask me questions that I know I already answered in the interview process itself. And I think there's always something you can ask. You can ask for clarification. Can you go more in depth about this? What is our personal experience working at the company? Like, there's just always something that you can probably ask.
That's great. Alma, what would you say about how you successfully interview the interviewers?
I think, you know, the best questions are really, you know, getting to the human level with people and, you know, getting beyond the surface, especially if you're like interviewing with like a team member or, you know, someone that you'd be working with every single day. You want to assess if this person is someone that you can connect with on a human level and not just like on a work level, because you're going to be seeing that person every single day. And if you hate them or if you just don't align or you have communication issues, you're going to want to know that right away. Right. So I think one way to do that is just to, you know, ask them, you know, their perspective about, you know, what are some of the challenges in this role? You know, what do you see as, you know, the hardest part of this job? Just, you know, allow them to talk. People love to talk about themselves. And oftentimes they'll tell you way more than you really wanted to know, and will go way beyond the simple question. So, you know, asking those open-ended questions, and, you know, really just trying to figure out like who they are and, you know, how they see the world and how they see the job. Because oftentimes, you know, there's many ways to do a job. And if you have like different work styles, you know, in particular, that can be a really big red flag.
Yeah. Caroline.
We're going to step on each other here. Caroline.
And so I was going to say, also, I think it's okay to ask the tough questions. Sometimes people think, oh, this is too hot of a topic for me to ask about. I'll wait until later. So it depends on the question. But also one way that you can gauge that, at least in, you know, the way that I work with candidates, is they'll ask me and I'll say, no, that's good. You need to talk to them about that now. That's really important. So again, especially if it's something that's really going to make a big difference as to whether or not this is a fit or if they're ultimately going to take the role, for the most part. And again, like it does make sense to make sure you're asking that of the right people. So, you know, again, if it's about the promotion path for the team or something, you ask the guy who just started 6 months ago, probably not the right person. But if it's the person you directly report to, I think that's something that you should cover on the first interview if it really matters to you. And if you're really not sure, a lot of times you can ask the recruiter, is it okay? Or who should I ask this question to? And I could give you feedback on how to handle that or the best way to.
I really like that. I like the idea that like, hey, recruiter, I'm interviewing with these three people. Here are my questions. Can you answer them? If not, which of these people should I direct them to? I think that's really helpful. And I think that's something I wouldn't have thought of. But like, same. The recruiter wants you to succeed and get the role. That's why they're putting you out there for it. So I think what I'm taking away is like, over leverage the recruiters, because they really want you to succeed. They're investing a lot of their time directly with you and outside of being with you in you. So really leverage them to best position yourself for that, while being, again, I'm going to keep saying this, very authentically yourself, because you should not be like one person to one person and one person, a different person to another one. Alma, I have a question for you. As a BIPOC person, interviewing for jobs in the past to find out if the culture is inclusive was easier because I would walk into the office and I'd say, look, there's a bunch of people. They all look like me. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I interviewed for a role once. The hiring manager was a white person. And I was like, that's cool. I don't know if this place is inclusive. And then I got through the first round. I got into the office and everybody looked just like me. I was like, whoa, I would not have guessed it based off of the hiring manager. But, you know, most of corporate America hiring roles and leadership roles are white men. So you don't know who's running the company below them. But with it being more digital now, how can you go about assessing if that workplace is more inclusive and a good fit for you and your background?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think that there are clues all along the process. From the moment you see a job listed, you can kind of get an idea of what that workplace is like and what they value. So, you know, most companies are very much into diversity initiatives because it's good business. You know, it benefits them. And they have entire, you know, teams that are involved with employer branding. And you can see it on their jobs page, on the careers page. Who are the people in the pictures? Who are they targeting? If you had to, you know, surmise that just by looking at the careers page, you know, are they looking for people like you or is it somebody else? You can also tell from the language that's used, you know, if you're a woman and all the language is very masculine, you know, obviously they're not targeting you necessarily. And it may not even be on purpose. A lot of times, you know, like I said, you're getting these job descriptions from like 10 years ago that were written by men, you know, and they haven't revised them. So that's a big tell. You can tell if it's a progressive organization, if they're not even paying attention to that. The other thing is, you know, most companies, they will have a lot of recruiting videos like on YouTube, or they'll have social media. Again, are you represented there? You can see all those things. When you're in the interview, is there a person of color on the panel that's interviewing you? Is there a female on that panel? You know, people who look like you. The other thing that you can do is you can actually request from your recruiter to talk to someone. Hey, can I talk to someone who is a person of color? Because I want to see their perspective. Is there someone on the team that I can talk to? And that should be totally okay. That's something that's totally valid.
That's great. That is awesome. I love that.
And the other thing I would also ask is, you know, ask the hiring manager, ask your recruiter, you know, what are the affinity groups like? Can you tell me more about, you know, what affinity groups you have? And if they do have an affinity group for, you know, something that's your special interest, ask if you can, you know, talk to them or talk to one of the leaders or talk to one of the people who are part of that, you know, that group. And that will give you a really good idea of, you know, kind of what their commitment is as well. I also always look at their charitable contributions. You know, who are they supporting? Who are they out there, you know, championing? And I also look at, you know, their reputation in the industry. If you go on like Glassdoor, if you go on chat boards and things like that, you'll often see a lot of people just chattering about their interview experiences. And you can find a lot of really good information if you do some digging. So that's I would look good. At all those things.
That's super helpful. I think that's great. I think it's easier to get at information now. So it's good to be more holistic as you look at the org and the company, especially when you can't just like walk through the office like you used to. Like, I know that that's had a different impact on me when I've been in different situations like this, like seeing the people. But that's really helpful. I want to pivot to our last section here, which is after the interview. Caitlin, I'm going to go to you with this first one. We're going to talk about thank yous. Does this still happen? Like, should I be handwriting a thank you letter? Is it an email? What's your perspective?
Yeah, I think it definitely has to happen. I think that there's a time frame that it needs to happen. So I think a virtual, like an email or a LinkedIn within the first 24 hours is essential to you staying kind of in good terms of, again, this just goes back to the enthusiasm. I mean, hopefully this is just like a no-brainer of like, hey, I really want this job. I really liked these people. I want to tell them that and thank them for their time. So I'm a big proponent on like always send an email. In our industry, I've been in the tech industry more recently. A lot of these positions are remote, as in, you know, many industries now, but like sending a video, like you can send a video message through LinkedIn or even an audio message, like personalize these things to make it human to who you are. Show that you know how to do this type of outreach if it is involved in part of the job that you're going for. I mean, I think that that's another huge thing that we didn't really touch on, but like, it's important to be tech savvy in this day and age, no matter what the position that you're going for, because so many things are remote. So if you have a hard time logging into Zoom for our interview, like that's going to give me some red flags about the ability to successfully go in and do some of those things. So in those thank yous, like highlight the things that you, again, be specific to that interviewer. Don't have a canned thank you that you send out to everybody. And I think the more personal that you can make them, the better, in my opinion. You know, if you want to send a written one, like snail mail, like more power to you if you can track down how to send it to that person. But just don't have that be your only form of thank you, because it will take time to get there. And again, going back to like the transparency that Caroline mentioned, like you don't want the recruiter to be like, wow, they didn't send a thank you. And then a week later, they get it. And they're like, well, now I feel crappy because I prioritized them lower in my representation of who I think should get this job because they didn't do this follow up, you know? And so you just, again, virtual, like come to the terms of where we're at in this day and age and send it via email, LinkedIn, a quick way.
Okay, so we know yes to thank yous, the follow-up quickly. So then, Caitlin, what do you see as the biggest mistakes after the interview?
Kind of going back to what I mentioned before, like not not following through, like ghosting. A lot of times, you know, we'll see people who are like super enthusiastic all the way to a final stage, and then they won't, you know. And again, it's like communication around the range has been had. By this time, we've checked all of the boxes from a recruiter standpoint to make sure that, as Caroline mentioned, that you're like enthusiastic about that, you not only are interested in the job, but that you would accept this job. I'm not going to take you all the way to the final stages without vetting all of that as a recruiter. And so, you know, it does not feel good if we get to that stage and then suddenly you are not accepting the job because you said, oh, actually now I would only accept it if it was in this range. And it's like, well, that's not what we talked about three conversations ago. And as mm-hmm. we've continued, I mean, as a recruiter, I constantly checkpoint. If you're a top candidate for this position, I'm debriefing with you after every interview and I'm confirming again, is there anything that would be standing in the way of you accepting this opportunity if this was offered to you? So if I don't have that transparency throughout that process, and then suddenly you get the offer and you don't accept it, I'm going to be like, what the heck happened here? You know? And again, like this goes to relationships. So I think of, you know, if there's anything that comes up, again, your recruiter, like they need to know and they want to know, and they will help the situation. A lot of times there's things that we can go back and negotiate, or we can give clues on like, hey, that's not going to be something that is negotiable in this offer. So what could we do to help get you to a yes, if that is, you know, very important or something? So again, like transparency and communication, if there is anything that would prevent you from accepting, especially as you get to a final stage, or if you are at the point of getting an offer, like we want to know that. And if you just ghost or don't communicate, or just say like, oh, actually I got another offer from this company, and especially it really burns if it's a competitor and you didn't disclose that you were also interviewing with other places, like that's something that it's just not a good look for a candidate. So you want to make sure that you continue to present yourself in a manner, whether it's now or in the future, that would want to be workable with in the future state too.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sarah, you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, it was literally exactly what Caitlin finished with, was making sure that you're communicative and transparent. I literally just yesterday had a team that who was our front runner for these two positions we had. We were going to hire them together as a team. The hiring manager was kind of dragging their feet a little bit. They had one more interview they wanted to get through. And I had built this relationship with this team through the interview process thus far. And they reached out and they said, hey, we're expecting another interview on Friday. And I reached out to the hiring managers and I was like, if you want them, we need to do this now. And the offer went out last night. So it's not from like a threatening, like, hey, I have another offer, but like, I like you guys, I'm interested, I just want to keep you updated.
Yeah, I like that. And I think that's good and continues to harken back to what we keep saying, which is be transparent with your recruiters. That's going to benefit you the most and them. And to Sarah's example here, like that helped get them an offer because they told them like, I've got other things. I don't want to do those other things. I want this thing. This is the thing that I want, but I need to know that this is a thing. Otherwise, I'm going to keep investing time and energy into other things. Caroline, how long should you wait before following up if you haven't heard anything? I've already sent my thank you. It was great. Thank you for the interview. I emailed everybody in the right ways. But after that, how long should you wait before you follow up with the recruiter or whoever it is and say, what's going on?
Yeah, hopefully you get some sense of the timing of the process from the beginning as you are working with the recruiter. If not, it's totally appropriate to ask, just, you know, help me to understand how long should I wait or at what point should I follow up or something like that. That's a completely appropriate question to ask. You know, and then how long should you wait if they're radio silent? I don't know. I'm trying to think. So if you interviewed and there's nothing, I always try to get back to people within at least a couple of days to let them know something, right? Which is, mm-hmm. hey, you know, we're not going to have feedback yet. The team is debriefing next week, or there's three other candidates interviewing and that won't be complete until 2 weeks from now or something. So again, I'm trying to give them the transparency that I'm also asking for mm-hmm. from the candidate. But if you haven't heard anything at all, I would certainly think it's fine to follow up within a couple of days, maybe to clarify that question, or, you know, the following week for sure, if you haven't heard anything. Usually directly, again, it depends on how the process is being run. You know, if there's a recruiter that you can really trust, not all recruiters are great, by the way. So there will be some that are not good. So maybe we should, you know, establish that. And so in that case, also, you may reach out directly to the hiring authority, the person that you met with. If you haven't heard back, just again, emphasizing your interest and not being pushy, just checking in.
So, Sarah, is it okay, realistic, to ask for feedback if you don't get the job?
I think it's okay. I think, and I would love to hear what everyone else has to say, I think don't be offended if I don't give you super, super in-depth. Don't be offended if I might not be able to get back to you, because there are a lot of times when I've done my job, you didn't get it. I'm sorry. I'm moving on. I got it. I have other things I need to do. I look at it from like a human to human perspective. I would want to know if there was something. I think it does get tricky putting things into email specifics on like why or why we're not hiring somebody. So don't be upset if it's kind of general. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. I don't know. Yeah, I actually love to hear what everyone else had to say about that.
Anybody want to add? Caroline.
Yeah, I think it's worth always asking, just kind of like Sarah said, you might want to keep your expectations, you know, medium to low on how much feedback you'll get back from someone, but it's worth asking. I definitely think it's weird to ask for feedback at the end of an interview. That doesn't happen that often, but that's awkward, right? So don't do that. I know what we're talking about here is later, right? When there's feedback, or I mean, you can even ask for feedback if you're getting passed to the next round of interviews. You know, when I call a candidate to say, hey, we'd like to move you to the final round, you can definitely ask, is there any feedback, anything I should work on, anything in particular that stood out about me that I should continue to emphasize? Like, I will always provide as much feedback as I can. There are situations in which maybe it's just better not to, or you have to be careful about what the company's willing, you know, to share. But I think it's worth asking.
Nice. Okay, that makes me want to ask you, Caroline. So a question that I'll encourage people to ask at the end of the interview is asking if there are any concerns about their candidacy. Would you say that that's in bad taste?
Not. I'm curious what everybody else says. I think you're onto a good track there in terms of like, is there anything else that would be helpful to understand or about me, or anything that's a concern that maybe I could help to clarify? Yes. Or something, because that is a genuinely good question. Maybe you didn't express enough about a certain thing that you actually do have experience in. That's fine. But there, I have been in situations where someone just very awkwardly at the end was just like, so do you think I will get the job or not? And I'm not usually mentally prepared at that point to answer that question. Or of course, you're still going to spend time after comparing them to other candidates or something. So I think maybe it's just the way you phrase it that maybe makes the difference there.
Yes. Yes. Sarah, something you wanted to add here?
Yeah. So I think I totally agree with that. After I do screening with a candidate initially, I'm very much on board with having a transparent, open communication with a candidate. I want to tell them, I think we were talking about earlier, like, we are advocating for you. If we're moving you forward, we think that you could potentially be it. So we're going to advocate for you. I often will tell them at the end of interview, like, here are, I don't even want to say red flags, because if you have red flags, I probably wouldn't move you forward, but maybe like a pink flag, things that I would probably touch on, or things that you might want to go more in depth on. Like, it's great that you told me about how things were when you were in high school and college, but I really want you to focus on this specific relevant experience. Like, take our feedback from a constructive feedback perspective versus us like telling you exactly what to do. I think that makes sense. Sorry.
Nice. Okay.
You got it, Shannon? Me. Okay. So I would say, like, it was helpful, Caroline, I think you touched on this. Caitlin, you touched on this, saying, like, if there are things that you're wanting to negotiate, let's talk about those now, because some things are not going to be negotiable. Some things are going to be negotiable. I think getting that understanding from the recruiter, I think, is going to be helpful. I think also, at the beginning, saying, like, when they tell you, here's the range, here's what we're looking at, and you saying, yeah, I'm good, I'm in that range, and here's where I fit in that range. And because I'm going to start with salary, because salary is the biggest piece of this. But Alma, I'm going to ask you this question specifically. How do you feel about candidates that negotiate? And I'm talking very fast because I want us to maybe use this as our last piece, and we're going to wrap up after this.
Yeah, I think, you know, everyone should negotiate, especially if you're a diverse candidate, mostly because every cis white man I've ever offered a job to has negotiated, and most of the time they're getting it. So I think the key thing is to realize that, you know, slick negotiating isn't what is going to win that negotiation, and it can actually bite you in the butt if you're a little bit too cocky about how you're asking. So you want to make sure that you're flexible and you're reasonable and you're polite when you're asking for more. You know, some things we really can't budge on, but that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, do other things. Like there might be stock options, RSUs, there might be bonuses that we can offer, paid time off we can offer. But really part of that is doing your homework on the company. So, you know, understanding like some companies, you know, they have very rigid, you know, safety guards in place when it comes to compensation. So really trying to understand where they're coming from and talking to that recruiter very transparently about what it's going to take for them to get you to say yes, because, you know, they want you to say yes, and they obviously want you if they're offering the job to you. And it's very expensive to start over as a company when searching for talent. So they really don't want you to say no over like $5,000 unless there's, you know, some internal bickering. So, you know, really just be cognizant of all of those things.
Perfect. This was awesome. I'm going to really quickly wrap up with what we talked about today, which is great interview tips. Bring energy, bring enthusiasm, carry that through, be consistent. Ask good, relevant questions to the people you're working with. The really high level takeaway for me here is you're working with a recruiter, ask them as many questions as you can and get a sense from them of how to succeed in this and where to direct your questions and all of those pieces. And after the interview, definitely follow up, send thank yous, send relevant thank yous.
My takeaway is that recruiters have a lot of power.
Yes.
Recruiters have a lot of power. So be mindful of how you are leveraging and using them throughout the process, and how you're respectfully engaging with them. Because literally, we've heard every single one of these people today say they have not looked at a candidate for some reason or another, or have not put a candidate forward. And on that note, can I just ask one last question, which is, where can people connect with recruiters for their industry? How do they find them? Anybody want to take that for me?
I think starting with, like, if you are targeting an industry, go look for companies in that industry. And like, I mean, recruiters are going to be on LinkedIn. So like, and they're going to have a title of talent acquisition or recruiting or whatever it is. I think if you, I mean, that's the first place to start. And I think be mindful of, especially in large organizations, there's recruiters in various business units of that organization. So like, and sometimes that'll be indicated on their LinkedIn, sometimes it won't be. So kind of, I think Sarah touched on that of like, I'm not recruiting for this role. Like, I'm not going to just pass you on to my colleague in that space if I don't know you, or if there's not some connection. So again, be mindful of how you're like, put on the hat of what a recruiter is doing to look for you, and go look for a recruiter in that standpoint. And you don't need the skills to do it. I mean, like, I'm targeting this industry, this position, and these roles, like, let me go find a recruiter in this space. That would be my one tip of like how you can find recruiters. I mean, they're going to be on LinkedIn, and they're going to be more visible than even other like hiring leaders, I would say, just because usually they're kind of frontline to getting people into that organization. That's my one tip.
That's great. Okay, now Rami, you can wrap.
Wait, Caroline's waving. Go for it.
You, oh, Caroline, yeah.
And then we'll wrap.
I was just going to say, and then from like the agency recruiting side, it is a very fragmented industry. So I think it actually is kind of confusing. I was just talking to someone the other day about this and giving, you know, a friend trying to give him advice on it. And I think a lot of it does come down to word of mouth. I mean, certainly Google, LinkedIn is great. But like, for example, I'm in a very specific niche. I actually don't even care for people to find me on Google. The right people, I will find them and yep. they will find me. So a lot of that is just talking to other people that have had positive experiences, ask around, because it could be a recruiter at a really large firm. It could be a boutique. It could be an independent recruiter that might have the best job ever. And so I know that makes it a little bit tricky to navigate, but I would definitely ask around. And then also, like I alluded to before, there is a vast difference in just terms of how good some recruiters are. So if you've ever interacted with one of the really bad ones, I'm really sorry for those people that are representing us negatively in this industry. But hopefully this helps to show that, like, there are a lot of really good recruiters out there too that can be really helpful. And so if you do have one bad interaction, don't write off recruiters. Just keep looking and find, you know, working with other people, you know, give other recruiters a chance, essentially.
Yes. I love it. You guys, thank you so much for joining us. Sarah, Caitlin, Alma, Caroline, you guys are tremendous. You guys are making me believe in recruiters again. I was turned off before this and now I'm pumped about you guys. So this is super cool. We'd love for all of you guys to connect with us on LinkedIn, on Instagram, and really let us know if you have more questions, let us know. Like, I think we got through a lot of things. We ran quickly here, hopefully to give you like an overview of the process and tips, tricks through each of the steps. But yeah, with that, I've been Rami.
And I've been Shannon, and this has been Workplace Hugs.